Off the Ball, GAA.
There's no one that can tell me that this isn't like one of their greatest All-Ireland championships.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Wrap on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. We're coming to you live from Killybegs in County Donegal this evening. We're bringing you on the road to Bundoran, to Gweedore, to Remelton, to Ballybofey. Throughout the next 3 hours, we're going to be hearing from the likes of Brian McAniff and Páirc McShea talking about Donegal's first Ulster title, being on the field of play for that back in 1972. We're going to be hearing from Manus Boyle about being the hero in 1992 when they won their first All-Ireland. And Frank McLean is going to tell us what it was like to win their second All-Ireland in 2012 under Jim McGuinness's stewardship. We're also going to be meeting up with Edward McDade, who is part of the McDade family behind the football special soft drink. And we will go up to Gweedore to see Moya Brennan and her Grammy Award and to spend some time in the Gaeltacht. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch on WhatsApp. We will be bringing you the news round and a scene set from Talca Park with Nathan Murphy in just a moment, but Mick McCarthy is sitting across the table from me here in the Tara Hotel in Killybegs. We're lucky to have an abode.
We're lucky to be live, yeah.
It's been quite a day on the road. We've been up to the north of the county, as I say. We've been up to Gweedore. We had planned to be back in Bundoran for this slot, but thankfully the people in the Tara Hotel have been kind enough to assist us in our logistical meltdown.
I think anyone who has any idea of the geography of Donegal will be listening to your intro and thinking, have they done this over the course of a week? Yeah. Or no, all today from Dublin to this morning. I've enjoyed every second of it, but my God, this is a big county, of which every single place is 45 minutes away from every single other place, no matter what, no matter where you are in the county.
It seems to be the case. Now, we had a plan last night going to bed, and that plan was to not go anywhere near Gweedore because it felt that if we wanted to get to Killybegs and to Remelton, we would avoid that. And then I woke up to a text this morning saying that, well, yes, Moya Brennan would love for you to come to her father's pub and to chat to her about her amazing career as a musician and her connection with sport. And you do not look a gift horse in the mouth at that stage, Mick. So we moved everything around to ensure that we got up to Gweedore, and she was fantastic. I can't wait to play this out a little bit later.
She was amazing, and she was such a nice person to deal with, and the whole family running the pub and so on were. But also, we were like, you were doing the interview, and I was very much almost kind of in awe of, you know, the chats we had beforehand, where we were like, this pub is like the, you know, the birthplace of Clonard, and where they all just started singing and playing together, and you're kind of start looking around. So you're doing the interview and I'm just wandering around and I'm like spotting a Grammy on the wall, yeah. You know, or a Grammy on a counter. I'm like, wow, this is some amount of history in this building outside of Gaelic football. But on Sunday there will be no music in the afternoon because the place will be jammed, because there's a certain All-Ireland final that will have to be played that will take all the attention.
This is the third of our four-piece trip around the country. We've been to Cork, we've been to Tip. Donegal has outdone them with regards to colour, with flags and bunting and cars.
Yeah, cars, lots of, inanimate object, kind of toy things like teddies and stuff like that, stuffed in with Donegal jerseys. But I said to SKG here with us, our digital whiz kid, came up the road with us today, and I was like, you know, he's South African originally, so there's a kind of a natural patronising kind of education going on in the car as I talked to him about the various counties and the various traditions. And one thing I did say was, you know, you saw a lot of colour in Cork and Tip, but you're going to see a lot of cars that are painted out. And I just had this feeling, I don't know what it is, why it is that I knew that, but I was so right. There isn't a town goes by without a green and gold painted car with various different messages and logos on them.
And also cars on heights. They've managed to put cars on top of petrol stations because just putting it on a hill is not enough. How they've managed to get the cars into some of the positions they've got them in Donegal is an absolute achievement.
It's commitment. They clearly just love their GAA more than any other county, because they will do what the hell is needed to do with those cars to make sure that they're seen from all angles.
One of my favourite signs that I saw today was Donegal for Sam, Kerry for Butter, which is deeply insulting, obviously. I've had to go around to everybody today and say good luck on Sunday.
But you do mean, because we were talking about this earlier, and this is the third time we've been here, and I think anybody that, like, maybe has kind of like watched the tip players in the last couple of days will realize as well that, you know, we all do have our rivalries and we all have do have like the teams we don't like and the teams we like and so on. And then when it comes to it, when you actually talk to human beings and everybody has their story about what it means to them and all, it is very hard not to appreciate and kind of get behind the idea of a GAA team on the week of a final when they're building up to it. You know, obviously you will go to Kerry on Friday and you will feel none of this anymore, and rightly so. And by the time Sunday comes along, you'll be a one-eyed fan again. But as just a sports fan today, down here, you couldn't but feel excited for what they're all waiting for on Sunday.
And also hearing the stories of the celebrations in 1992,
yeah,
and how long they went on for. Like, we will be bringing you that piece this hour, and we will be speaking to Brian McAniff. Most importantly, what you're also going to hear this hour is Brian McAniff playing the piano in his home. So if an interview with the great man, probably on the Mount Rushmore of Ulster GAA figures, wasn't enough, he's also a brilliant piano player, and he dedicated this tune to his friend Sean Boylan, that you'll hear a little bit later on. So plenty coming up over the course of the next 3 hours from across Donegal on our fairly zigzag tour throughout the county. Our number, as I say, is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch this evening. And the news round is with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. We will hand back over to studio in Dublin, where Cameron Hill is going to kick things off with the football tonight.
Yeah, good evening, folks. Shelburne are continuing their Champions League qualifying journey this evening. Karabakh of Azerbaijan are the visitors to Drumcondra tonight for the first leg of their second round tie. First choice goalkeeper Conor Kearns has been ruled out for the hosts, but captain Mark McCoyle is available for tonight's game and is on the bench. Shells were 2-1 winners over Linfield over the two legs in the first round, but manager Joey O'Brien says they learned important lessons from last week's game at Windsor Park.
They weren't critical mistakes, but the mistakes we made, and I suppose the chance that we gave up against Linfield over the two games, really, I think that goal, the penalty, comes from a corner we conceded, no need to concede it. And then obviously the penalty in around the box, obviously keep the second ball alive, third ball alive, and we give away a penalty. And then the mistakes we made with the two goalkeepers, with the passes or the back pass, were everywhere, really. You just don't get away with them, you know. And I suppose we touched on that over the last couple of days, that them real critical mistakes will be at this level. But even other things, when you think you have comfortable possession, you start thinking you're okay, you give the ball away, you cough it up in a bad area. At this level, like 2-3 passes, the ball can be in the back of your net, like, you know, and that's the players you're operating against. So again, you need to be, even when you're in possession, especially as a defender, you need to be always be busy, give yourself work to do, obviously make sure your setup is correct, and yeah, you're managing the game throughout.
Nathan, obviously a bit of a breakthrough last week and plenty of relief that they've managed to get to this stage of the competition, but Karabakh tonight, this is a massive step up. You are going to be watching proceedings at Talca Park for us.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It is a huge step up. Karabakh are regulars in the Europa League group stage every year. They've reached the Champions League group stage previously, and you would feel they're used to operating at a different level to Shelburne, but they're coming into this at the start of their season. Shelburne obviously full of confidence after the way they progressed against Linfield last week. And you just hope, having this game at Talca Park on home soil, first off, Shelburne can certainly stay in the game or maybe even get a result out of this to bring over to Azerbaijan next week. And you just never know when teams are starting out on a new season what the mindset is. Now, listen, there hasn't been a huge amount of change at Karabakh. Their manager, Gurban Gurbanov, has been manager for well over a decade. All through the glory years, they've seen them win 11 out of 12 titles in Azerbaijan. So there's no doubt about it that it's an uphill task. I know Joey O'Brien's very keen to not use the term it's a free hit, and that even if they lose this, that the Europa League is a free hit, because the Conference League playoff is sort of the be-all and end-all. But when you look at the draws that they're facing, regardless of what happens here in the Europa League or the Champions League next off, it will be one of the great, great European victories for an Irish club if they could somehow come through against Karabakh. So yeah, it's going to be a tough all night for Shells.
What can you tell us about the team news tonight, Nathan?
Yeah, well, as Cameron mentioned there, the two players who went off injured in the first half an hour last week are the only two players who come out of the starting 11. So Conor Kearns going to be out for a few weeks. Lorcan Healy, who stepped in for an hour last week. He continues in goal. They have made a new signing. Wessel Spiel, Dutch goalkeeper from the MLS, has come in and they've got him registered, and there is the possibility he becomes the long-term number one, but he's starting on the bench tonight. The other change, well, Mark Coyle, their captain, missing out, but the most experienced man in the League of Ireland is stepping in. So Sean Gannon will come in and play in that back three alongside Cameron Ledwich and Paddy Barrett. It'll be Evan Caffrey and Tyreek Wilson on the wings. The midfield has been the big boost, I think, over the doubleheader against Linfield. Kerr McEnroy and JJ Lunny were outstanding in both of those games. They'll be in the centre midfield with, again, Ali Coote, who scored the important goal last week, and Harry Wood in behind Meepo Adebeko. And Meepo had probably his best game in a Shells jersey last week. It'll probably be something similar over these two legs, where he'll be isolated quite a lot. Can he hold the ball up as well against Carabag as he did against Linfield and bring those players into the game? The thing for Shelburne in both matches, in possession in the opposition half, they were good. They caused problems. They did the right thing. But if they shoot themselves in the foot and make as many silly mistakes at the back as they did against Linfield, they're going to get absolutely battered over the two legs here. Think back a week ago, first 10 minutes of both half zone, the goalkeeper passed the ball straight to a Linfield attacker on the edge of their own area, and both times they got away with it. They're not going to get away with that against Carabag. So they need to improve massively defensively. It needs to be a flawless performance defensively if they're to get anything out of it tonight. And unfortunately for Shells, they haven't shown enough of that this season.
All right, Nathan, thank you for that. We'll have updates from Talca Park throughout the evening for Shelburne versus Carabag in the Champions League. Now, Cameron, where do you want to bring us next?
Well, I'll bring you the news that broke just before we came on air, Owen, and Basketball Ireland say they are assessing our next steps after being drawn with Israel for the Women's Eurobasket 2027 qualifiers. James Weldon's side will be in qualifying Group A along with Israel, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Luxembourg following today's draw. Now, the two sides met in a controversial qualifier in the Latvian capital Riga in February of 2024, despite public pressure to boycott the game over Israel's bombardment of Gaza. The teams did not shake hands ahead of that match. Now, Israel, Ireland are due to travel to Israel for an away game on November 18th. In that statement released this evening, Basketball Ireland confirmed that they would be subject to a fine of up to €80,000 if they failed to fulfil their first fixture with Israel, and up to €100,000 worth of a fine if they fail in hosting Israel, and removal from the qualifiers this time round, as well as the next edition of qualifiers for the 2029 competition.
Yeah, this is very reminiscent of February last year for obvious reasons, and also because of how Basketball Ireland have mentioned the money and how this is going to be such a massive fine and a punitive fine if they don't fulfil this fixture. Now, I do remember being outside the Dáil when this happened in February last year, speaking to the likes of Rebecca O'Keefe and David Hickey, and Michael Dara McCauley was there as well, and there was a real groundswell of opinion that at that point in this, there would have been enough support to actually crowdfund for a fine like this. Now that we're reaching starvation, widespread starvation, now that we're reaching famine in Gaza, in Palestine, the idea that crowdfunding would be easier sought after, I think that's a reasonable thing to suggest. I do feel sorry for these players who are in this position, the Irish players that are in this position once again, but I think this fine, I think there's enough of a groundswell of support out there to actually get this, to take this out of the equation completely.
Yeah, look, and look, the biggest issue here is like FIBA allowing, you know, Israel to still compete and forcing countries to do this with threats of Eurobasket, whoever it is that's the governing body, but it all feeds under FIBA, I suppose.
Yeah, it's FIBA, yeah.
Yeah, so for them to, you know, force, like, you know, obviously take a political side as FIFA and UEFA have done, and as a lot of Western countries have done, and decide that this is, you know, something that you don't have a say in, and you have to go and face Israel, is fairly disgraceful, really, that it puts Basketball Ireland in this position. Basketball Ireland, in response, have to not put the players in the position that they did last time. And I'm sorry, I know, as you say, maybe there's crowdsourcing, there's loads of options, and suspension is an awful thing as well. And we'll be told that it's a complicated thing, because their job is to run basketball in Ireland. But I'm sorry, we all have we have moral requirements as well, and they can't go to Israel. They can't. and I don't think it's acceptable if they do. On this, I think we were in a more complicated position last November. I really do, and I don't think it's complicated at all anymore. And I really think they are letting their players down so badly if they put them in a position to have to boycott or turn up to this game or make some sort of pointless gesture like not shaking hands.
On a small point there as well, are an Irish basketball team even safe in Israel at this point is a question that I would have, and I'm not sure. I think it's been globally publicised relative to other countries. Ireland's support for Palestine and how that has gone down in Israel is obviously it's not rocket science to suggest how that's gone down. So would this actually be a safe environment for Irish players to compete in? I'm not sure. Again, that's only a small point on this. They should not in any way be put into that position, and hopefully that is how this story does materialise from a basketball Ireland standpoint. Listen, Cameron, we time for maybe one last quick story.
Yeah, well, England await the winners of this evening's second semi-final at the Women's Euros in Switzerland, Owen. So world champion Spain taking on eight-time winners Germany in the second last four tie. That gets underway at 8 o'clock tonight.
Thanks for that, Cameron. Our number, as I say, is 0879 180 180. We've got a WhatsApp in here from Chris Duffy and Lisa McGinley Cranford in the heart of Donegal, as Michael English sings about getting married on Saturday, so guests either having the crack at the wedding or staying sober to head to Croker early on Sunday morning. Wish them the best of luck, just at rehearsals now, so heading to Logues of Cranford for the drinking rehearsals after. Cranford will be rocking with the after party on Sunday up Donegal. Sam will be back to the hills come Monday. Well, we'll have plenty of sounds from the hills over the next 2 hours and 40 minutes here in Donegal. We're going to be heading back to Bundoran next, where we'll be hearing from Brian McAniff and Pádraig McShay reminiscing on their first Ulster title in 1972, as well as Brian McAniff taking to the piano. Cash Machine first.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.